Hello, everyone. I am teaching artist Lauren Welch. Welcome to our stream. I'm here today with Deepti Menon, and we are going to be drawing and painting wigs from RuPaul's Drag Race, well, specifically RuPaul. But before we get into that, if your studio habits need a kick in the butt, Art Prof has everything you need, tutorials, critiques, and professional development. So, Deepti, you're on the Procreate, and I am on the painting here. What are you going to start with first?
So, we're both going to start with this image of RuPaul with the really vibrant red wig. I'm like jealous of this hair. It's like so voluminous and beautiful.
It's so big. I love it.
But I think I'm right now I'm just kind of, I think, but well, you're going to just do this drawing for the whole stream. And I am not entirely sure yet if I'm going to focus on just this one. I think that could be kind of fun, but I'm not sure. But I am feeling a little like tight today. Like I haven't drawn yet and I haven't really done much yet. So
yeah.
I was like, I might just like do like some fun like line work right now and then go over it. Also thinking I might just like really exaggerate the hair and like keep the face pretty minimal. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want to draw along with us, the reference photos are in the link below. It'd be awesome to see what you guys make afterwards when we're all in Procreate. I mean, in Discord. What are you doing, Lauren?
I know Clara said to paint right away, but I realized that my paints are really concentrated right now. They need to be hydrated. They're dehydrated. So I'm watering them down. I'm using acrylic, guys. And I'm just going to start by painting the shape of this hair. And I have it very, very watery right now. It's really blorpy. And I will probably get into super saturated colors later.
Vishaka is asking, Deepti, please tell the brush you're using to make the structure. I'm using in the Procreate library in sketching. This is one of the brushes that comes with Procreate, the 6B pencil. And I'm at max opacity for it. It's great because you can get really like grainy, thick marks like that, but you can also get like really hyper-specific tight marks.
I love how there are very specific brushes that you have in Procreate. You probably use more brushes than I do as a painter, like with all my physical brushes.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Jordan's been teaching me mostly. We have a comment from Neil saying, yay, paint copies, you label them, Lauren.
I do, except these labels are, I used to do that. These labels are really, really old. I don't know if you can see that, but these are from, I'm not good at putting them back on after labeling them. So the labels are all wrong and very confusing now. So I actually don't advise labeling your cups if you're not super organized. Off screen, guys, I've got a bucket of water here to wash my brushes. This is an old gesso bucket. The way to go. And I have a rag here too.
Lauren, do you want to like explain why wigs are a fun thing to draw? Because I feel like some people might be like, why wigs? Why not just like hair?
Wigs are like the dream version of hair. They're everything that hair can't do. You only have your one hair, but you can have 5 bajillion wigs. And you can make it do things like defy gravity. You can shape it like a topiary. And I think that's really incredible. And this was actually a suggestion from multiple people at Art Prof to do hair or to do wigs. So I think it's pretty cool that we're transforming one art form into another art form here. Although, to be honest, Deepti, I actually don't know a lot about either RuPaul or RuPaul's Drag Race. We need you guys to educate us. Do you know anything?
I know a little bit about like drag culture. I had some friends who were drag queens in college, but not too much. I know Drag Race is like a competition that RuPaul is the host of. Mm-hmm. And they like do lip sync performances, I believe it is, but it's also about like the makeup and hair and their wardrobe. It's like a very, it's like performance art. It's like beautiful. And then there's a winner. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like any kind of like competition show.
But there's like a whole culture around it that I know that has influenced everybody. There's so many memes and there's lore and all that stuff, but I don't actually know any of the specifics.
Well, I know RuPaul's also like a singer, mm-hmm. model. I think they were on like Sex in the City or something, like had a cameo. Like
really?
Actor. I think actor. I'm not entirely sure. I'm curious. AJ is saying, I love Ruse saying that he Ruse saying he says at the end of each Drag Race episode, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
Yeah. Oh, I like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge cultural phenomenon, and the show, like, I haven't watched it personally, but I've seen like clips and stuff, and so fun.
Yeah, I've seen clips too. We had to actually watch some for a class once here at Hunter.
Really? What for?
Pretty cool. Actually, two classes now that I think about it. One was not at Hunter. It was held by a Hunter student. And it was about, how would I put it? How the digital world affects the real world and how we see things. And it was just about, it was a rating of the top performances, the top wig reveals or something like that. So we had to watch all these videos about it. And then kind of, oh no, I've got a big bleed here. That was not good. Whoopsie. And then the other was a similar, just kind of, how would I call it? A digital detour, just to liven up our critiques a little bit. Because all of this stuff, when you're making art, you're just influenced, you're always influenced by other artists. So,
one thing I'm noticing about, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was thinking about like the difference between like wigs and like the hair that comes out of our head naturally. And I was thinking about like two things that I'm noticing now is that like wigs can like really defy gravity. Like mm-hmm. they fall in ways that just normal hair like cannot, unless you have like so much product in it, which could be like bad for your hair. And like, look at how much volume RuPaul has in this wig. And also another interesting thing is like the hairline is really like perfect. I was thinking if my hair was pulled back like that, it would not look at all that like clean. I mean, it looks natural, but it's like definitely like a very like clean, perfect hairline. And like my hairline, I definitely have like little baby hairs like going all over the place. And
yeah. Have you ever tried to make your hairline super clean by shaving away or cutting away the little baby hairs?
Oh gosh, no. Is that a thing people do?
That's a thing that I did once. It's a bad idea because then they grow back. And then it looks stupid because you have little buzzed hairs that are sticking out like 5 o'clock shave.
Blue is saying you haven't lived until you experience a drag show in real life. That is very true. It's so much fun. Yeah, I've gone to quite a few in my life and they are super, super fun.
Yeah, same. We had them at RISD a few times. And then there was one at, not one, there were a whole bunch when I went to Purchase. Purchase has a huge drag culture there. Vishaka is saying it is fine to block in the whole hair space and then build up the section, starting with the sections I'm getting lost, like which part I made and where to go next. Same, I think that you just kind of like got to make a bubble of it. And then it's okay if you need to make stuff up. It kind of reminds me of painting trees a little bit, where you can just kind of explore the movement of the trees and get the gist of it, but you don't have to paint things exactly. Like, I already know that this is not exactly correct, and that's fine.
Yeah, and I think like studying the major masses of shape is most important. Like, you don't have to get every strand, but like just thinking about the overall shape and the smaller shapes you see in the whole thing will help you digest it more. Sometimes I like to squint when I'm looking at the reference image and see, like, even now doing it, I'm like, oh yeah, like there are, I see like two larger chunks here, kind of smaller chunk there, two larger chunks down here. That can like really like distill it down.
Definitely. Same. I am kind of just trying to make sure I'm getting the masses, although I'm kind of getting stuck in this making little curls and stuff like that. I'm feeling, as you said, very stiff. I don't usually paint in the mornings. Do you work in the morning, Deep D?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's technically not really morning anymore, but I do sometimes if I have like a deadline or I have to, but I'm really like, I prefer to work at night.
Same.
After everyone has gone to bed.
Same.
We were talking before the stream started about like studio culture. And like, I think that's where it comes from for me, is because like we would go to class until 6 p.m., go have dinner, and then come back to studio. At least that's how my day-to-day worked. And so I'm really used to like kind of getting into the groove of working around like 8 and then staying in studio until like 2-3 in the morning and starting up for the next day.
I have not, our studio here closes at 11 sharp. And you don't really want to be out riding the subways really late past that time anyways. So
That's true.
Neil is saying, Lauren, do you always start with the brush immediately when you paint, like no underdrawing whatsoever? Most of the time, that's a hard question. I used to just start straight with the brush all of the time. And then I found that not useful when I scale up. So say I'm scaling up from a thumbnail, I will kind of map stuff in because I found out my accuracy gets better and my anatomy is less wonky. But for this, it doesn't matter. I'm just going straight to paint.
This hair is so fun.
It really is. Oh, I like that you are using a toned surface.
Yeah, I've never done that before in Procreate, and I was like, it could be kind of fun to explore in this piece just because like color is like already like so fun in this piece, and it could be fun to just, or like in the image that we're using. So
that's just really smart. I feel like that would have, I have a hard time, especially with skin, people that have skin color that's a bit darker. I have a hard time with working from white to that color. So this is going to be a challenge on my end. I kind of wish I did tone the paper first.
W315 is asking, Lauren, don't you ever hide from the guard so you can stay in studio all night? Or did that only work before ubiquitous cameras?
That is, so yeah, there are a lot of cameras here. It's not allowed. I don't really know anybody that does it, especially with COVID. It's really a privilege that we're even open right now. So really don't want to go against that. And as I was saying before, I don't feel particularly, there was a time when I felt more comfortable taking the subway at like 2 a.m, but that's not really a thing I feel comfortable with anymore.
Yeah, I think before COVID, like a lot of people would be on the subway that late just because, but like now anyways, the subways feel a little less busy. So at 2 a.m. definitely.
Yeah.
AJ is,
go ahead.
sorry, I was just going to say, AJ is saying, by the way, when Rue is in drag, she uses she, her pronouns, and out of drag, he, him. That's really good
Thank
to know.
Thank you, AJ. We needed that. I was just talking with Deep D, trying to understand the etiquette. And so I guess right now we are drawing, painting RuPaul in drag. So she would go by she, I'm assuming. Da Sienna says, I want to ask, when do you know you have to stop painting? Because I have no clue. I don't think anybody has a clue. Deep D, do you have that problem?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always a moment where I was like, I could fix this and I could fix this. I think that what helps is like taking time apart away from your work and revisiting it. And then when you like revisit it, be kind of like looking at it with fresh eyes can sometimes really help me. And then in that case, sometimes when I revisit it, I could be like, oh, you know what? I thought I should make all these changes. But now when I'm looking at it again, I don't actually notice those things that were bothering me as much. And I think it's kind of fine. So it's definitely very hard. But I think taking time away and revisiting your work can always help you like get to that point quicker or with more clarity.
Totally. Totally. It's kind of challenging, though. That means when we're doing this hour and a half stint where you can't really walk away from the work, you just have to keep going.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't put it away. Dory's Heart says, Vanessa, even for me being a little queer boy all the way from Meridius, Drag Race made me believe in myself. The show showed me that I am normal and loved. That is a wonderful comment. That's really, really great. I think that's really been the case for a lot of people, and that's why the show's been so successful in mainstream. It makes a lot of people feel seen, and it's like super, super artful. Like it's really, there's something for everyone in the show.
Yeah, there's been some, I remember seeing one of the queens do this amazing costume change mid like walk down the runway where she was wearing like one pattern and then turned and like the entire outfit just like flipped on it. I don't know how to explain it well, but it was kind of just incredible and amazing. Like, and it truly is an art form. It's like performance.
It is performance.
Costume, but like everything.
It's got all of those parts to it. The lip syncing. Oh my God. I don't know how to lip sync at all. The dancing or the different moves, all these things.
The makeup I find so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Definitely.
As someone who like can't, is like in their late 20s, I guess is what you would call it now, which is so sad. but I still don't know I've never found the right color foundation for my skin. and I'm like, wow, like watching drag queens do makeup, I'm like, you just like are so knowledgeable on not only like the simple stuff, but really like how to make yourself just transform visually and look like so regal or like, so like, it's just, it's wild. I hope I even have like 1% of that kind of artistic knowledge.
Totally. Totally. Okay, I'm gonna try this. Oh, this isn't so bad. I really shouldn't be so tentative here. I should just put color down, and if it's not right, put more color on top. I don't know why I'm trying to be so specific right now. Are any of you in the chat, are you following the colors just right? What are you focusing on?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not even like worrying about color right now. I'm like really just trying to get the shape right, which even that I feel like I'm not really nailing. But
is that siren on your end or my end?
It's my end, sorry. Yeah. Blue is saying, and most people are aware of the fabulous younger drags, but an old drag doing stand-up is the funniest. You'll pee your pants laughing. I don't think I've seen any queens do stand-up.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have either. I have to think about it. I probably have. I'm probably just spacing.
Actually, that's true. A lot of the shows I would see, some, like, there'd be a host that was also a queen, and it would be hilarious, like, what they were saying. Like, it would be, like most hosts, like, there'd be jokes thrown in there and stuff.
I mean, humor is definitely a part of it, of the whole thing, I think.
Yeah.
The sort of absurdity, I guess. Deep D, this is an underdrawing that you're doing?
You know, I was just kind of thinking that. I was like, this is kind of an underdrawing, and I could go over it, but then I was like also just thinking about the other fun images we have of Rue, and was like, I'm kind of like happy where this is right now, and I wonder if I might pick another one while Lauren continues to work on this one. But yeah, like if I were to just make this into like a finished piece, this would be an underpainting to just kind of like get form and then form and shape. And then I would go on top. But I think I'm leaning towards maybe, I like this hair and I don't want to like dwell on it. Also, cause I'm feeling kind of like stiff today. I was like, it'd be fun to do a few.
Yeah.
Looser ones, and then maybe at the end I would revisit one of them. That's like a technique I like to do sometimes. Totally. With my hair. Yeah, I like this image of Rue a lot because, like, speaking of defying gravity, like
we have, sorry, a super sticker from Ronuk. Thank you so much, Ronuk. Every time you guys donate to Art Prof, you are helping someone who can't afford an art education get one through us. So we really appreciate it, and those people really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, don't apologize. I was just saying that, what was I saying? Oh, I was saying that, speaking of defying gravity, this wig that I'm doing now, defo defying gravity. It's like,
I really liked that one and I wanted to do it, but the problem was that it is horizontal and it's harder for me to set up a horizontal, what do you call it, sketch pad when we're in this situation. I mean, I guess I could make it a really small image, but then you guys wouldn't be able to see it.
No, no, no. We want the big images.
Yeah.
We want the big stuff. I love how sculptural these wigs are. It really does feel like drawing, like.
I know. I kind of just want to get a smaller brush and draw for a little bit. That's kind of going against my own mentality, but my own process that I recommend to people, but I kind of want to do it. I also, I made the hair here really closer to an Alizarin crimson, but the wig itself is still a cold red, but it's not as cold as that. And so I brought the CAD out. I think I might try it. Look at that, guys. Look at how delicious that is. I do this every time I pull out the CAD red. Should also block in some features here. Isn't it Clara that says that you're supposed to address everything before you go into detail?
We're two awful students right now. Dory's Heart is saying, I find hair very difficult to do with watercolor. It always looks like little strings floating in the air. Do you have tips on that as a painter?
Yeah, always do it in a block first and do less strings than you think it needs. because I feel like when you start getting into the individual hairs, at least in my case, you then say, ooh, I need more and more and more and more and more. And the more you add, the more crunchy it looks. And that is the thing that makes it look unnatural. Really, you only need like 4 highlight hair strands to make it look like there's a, you know, detail and highlight. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, I did a stream with Jordan actually on hair. And if you guys are still interested in hair, whoever's watching, I'd recommend watching it because the way Jordan kind of addresses hair is so minimal, but also so specific. He's really good at like getting the masses in and not, and like really addressing everything in the beginning and not worrying too much about details. And I mean, he's doing it on Procreate, but I think the kind of skill translates to any medium and like the way of like approaching. So yeah, you guys should definitely watch that stream. It was like, it's just like drawing hair in Procreate. Cerulean is saying, for Procreate, do you have any rules of thumb for color? I find color tough on Procreate because the choices are endless and the colors quickly get out of control. Yes. Something I learned recently is that in the color place, you can go to this tab on the bottom right that says palettes. And then you can like create your own color palette off of a photograph or an image. So if you do this plus sign over here, you can do new from photos, and then you could pick a photo and then it'll create this new palette at the top. So sometimes I like to do that because it like will narrow down the options for you, and then you can just stick to that and like make some sort of adjustments there. Another thing that Procreate has is this tab Harmony down here. And when you move the like the color picker, it also like shows you what is like a complementary color to it. So that's kind of nice. Like what works well together. But I think for Procreate, like, yeah, the options are definitely endless, but what helps me is just to stick to like a small palette at first, especially in these beginning stages, and then add as you go. But yeah, I think that's what works best.
So Neil had asked that question earlier about whether I do any drawing with a pencil or just go right in with a brush. I would say this is really, I would consider this kind of like doing stuff in the pencil, working with a really light color first to figure things out, to get those shapes out, and then going over it with a darker color once it feels more settled, I guess.
Neil is asking, Lauren, how do you know that that is a cold red? My first thought when I saw the picture is cadmium red.
Yeah, that's a good question, Neil. This is a, I think it comes from working with red a lot and seeing a red and thinking, oh, that's a warm red. And then using the warm red that I have and realizing actually my red is way too warm. This cad red, it's really close, but I know when I put it down, it's not going to have that purpley. There's a purpley shadow, I think, in the red of this hair, even though it's bright in the middle of reds. And so I'm attending to that shadow rather than the super, super brightness of the hair. Actually, I think that's probably fairly smart that I put down the colder red first, because when I put on the warmer red, I can add it kind of as these highlights and then have that shadow fill in itself. Jamie is asking, how come you are using water for your first layer to mix instead of medium fluid or gel? I really like to use... Well, first of all, I am using watercolor paper, and I've just found using the watercolor paper that the gel, when I mix with an extender like that, That's fine if I'm working on canvas, but the paper doesn't absorb it in quite the way that I like it to, because it's watercolor paper. It likes the water the best. So there's what happens is that the color tends to sit on top a little bit in a way that I don't like. So I'm just using water for this. I realize it's not the best choice, and it's not, I'm not making this for longevity's sake. If I was doing something that I really wanted to last a while, I would add those mediums to it. Oh wow, Deep D, I love that hair. It looks like a shell of a hermit crab.
Yeah.
The face coming out. It's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, right now it's just like one mass, which I'm kind of obsessed with.
I love it. I feel like if I knew a lot about makeup, I would be better at attacking this face.
I feel like if I knew more about makeup, I would definitely wear more makeup. Like, I think it's so fun. But every time I try to do something interesting, I feel like I just look awful.
I used to do crazy makeup things when I was in college at RISD because David Bowie, but I don't have time for that anymore. Who has time for makeup during a pandemic anyways?
Yeah, that's so true.
I was just actually listening to a podcast episode on The Daily about how people have gotten really into makeup actually over the pandemic because they see themselves over Zoom a lot.
Oh.
I guess that's a thing. And I also think that also people are spending a lot of time on TikTok, at least according to this show. And I do neither. Well, I spend a lot of time on Zoom, but I don't really look at myself, or I try not to look at myself.
We have a super sticker from RBDick100. Thank you so much. Like Lauren said, you're helping keep our prof free and accessible to everyone for as long as possible. So thank you so much, RB.
Thank you. Need to add another shoulder in here. I made this, I really focused on the hair and kind of forgot about the body. Sweetly says, to me, brushes are always a weak point I want to paint, but still haven't gotten the hang of it. Yeah, I think that they're a little bit intimidating for a lot of people because I think when people want to make a piece of artwork, they're usually striving for a certain level of accuracy. And brushes sort of fly in the face of that accuracy that you can get with pens and pencils and all that. So you have to be okay with things not looking good for a long time in a way that I think is you can have a, I don't know, a more instant gratification with pencils or charcoal or anything like that. Okay. Oh. Water's right there.
Yeah, I think with brushes, you kind of just have to relinquish control sometimes.
Yeah. So if you guys care what brushes I am using, I have a combination of rounds, which have a round point, and flats, which have a flat top. Kind of like when you cut your bangs straight across. And I love flats because I do like a fair amount of accuracy in my paintings and it can give me a very sharp line. I have the rounds because sometimes, say if you're doing skin, you really don't want a sharp line anywhere. So I am kind of going in between the two. This is my absolute favorite flat that I'm using right now, my favorite brush. It is very small and I probably use it more than I should, but I love it because it gives me all of that tiny accuracy that I'm really excited to use on this hair. Whoa.
Do
Okay,
you
so,
do a lot of, oh, sorry.
huh? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you do a lot of portraiture, Lauren?
I don't do as much as I used to. I really got into still life, but yeah, I do figures. How about I put it like that? I don't tend to do likenesses of people. I'm not good at it. I know that you do a lot of portraiture, Deep D, or at least I've seen your self-portraits, and I'm really into them. Your
Thank
selfie
you.
portraits.
I do, yeah, but I again, likeness is not really the goal in any of my work. Oh, this is a nice comment or question from Jamie. How were both of your weeks? Any wins or struggles you want to share, Lauren?
Oh. That is a really nice comment.
Yeah, thanks for checking in.
Man, I have to think. I feel like this week just went by and I didn't even notice it. Oh, yeah, my struggle. I shared this on my Instagram. I was really put out by my first dose of the COVID vaccine in a way that I wasn't expecting. And it was out flat for 2 days. 2.5 days, and then have been dealing with some, lingering fatigue and other stuff since. But I think it's finally dying down. What
That's
about
good to
you?
hear. I started a bunch of new freelance jobs this week, kind of all at the same time, which was just a little hectic, or not this week, just kind of like over the past few weeks. So it's been a little hectic with like just getting onboarded for all of them and like learning the ropes. And it's always like different with new clients and stuff. I haven't worked with any of these people before, but they're all lovely and it's been great. But that was kind of hectic. Had some lovely weather in New York this week.
Oh yeah, it was so beautiful. All the flowers are out.
Yeah, everything's blooming. The trees are blooming.
I kind of hesitate to talk about the weather on streams because our audience is so international. So I'm like, oh, everybody enjoy spring, but actually it's only spring in the northern hemisphere here.
That's true.
And also, spring is very different for every place. I feel like it's my interpretation of spring in New York is completely different than my New Hampshire spring. Right now, New Hampshire is still very much in mud season, and it's very depressing and awful. But here, this is kind of what I think the best time to live in the city because it's beautiful, but it's not super infernally hot yet, and it doesn't smell like trash yet.
Yeah, oh my God. The trash smell is so real.
The trash smell. You know it's summer in New York when it smells like trash. You know it's summer when in New York when all the rats come out.
Although I have been seeing a lot of rats.
Lauren, do you always start with white surface or do you ever tone the canvas or paper before you start to paint? Yes, I usually do an underpainting for all my paintings. And my favorite color to do that in is a color that I wrote on the supplies list here. It is called Quinacridone Nickel Azo Gold. This is my fluid acrylic. I love this so much. It makes a beautiful, beautiful color that looks like the sun during golden hour. I'm
Ooh.
not using it here because it's a very warm color and this is a very cool painting so far. But I was hoping to use it a little bit in RuPaul's skin because she has a glowing foundation going on here that really matches that sunset-y kind of color.
Yeah, I'm spending a little. I want a little break from this hair, so I'm spending some time getting Rue's facial features down, and I'm like playing around with the makeup of the eyes and stuff. And I'm like, What a great, like, skin tone. She's really
I know.
Like, I'm like, what is the secret? I'm like blemish everywhere, and this is like flawless skin.
Probably makeup.
Well, yes, but like how? Because even when I do that, I'm like still looking.
Do any of you in the chat follow makeup tutorial videos? Do you have favorite people that you learn from? Do you like drag makeup tutorials? I know that's how a lot of people I know have gotten into makeup.
Amy Lee attempts to paint is saying, this is amazing, loving it. Isn't Rue just unbelievable? Yes, absolutely. Thank you. We're so glad that you're like loving this. Hope you're drawing along with us. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I think about like, as you know, Lauren, like I'm also an actor, and like for my auditions, I have to get ready. Like normally I'm not wearing a lot of makeup or any makeup. And for my auditions, I get ready. And I do my makeup for it. And it is like so much effort to like get my hair looking nice and my face looking nice and like camera ready. And I'm like, even in these like four photo or five photos we have of Rue, she's so put together.
Yeah.
And like just so there's not like a hair out of place. The makeup is just immaculate. And I'm like not even a tenth of this. I don't know. I'm like, you really probably have to love it because I feel exhausted after.
Totally.
Trying to do my makeup. And then I'm like annoyed because I have to take it off.
Yeah. The last time I really maybe tried at some makeup was when I was at Purchase. I think I have maybe a skin sensitivity or something because it just made my face feel like it was dying a little bit.
Oh, geez.
I think some of the products make me feel weighted down, maybe. I know that there are ones that are probably better. I just don't know anything. Ankari is saying, I don't wear makeup often, but you can learn so much about facial structures from makeup tutorials.
Hmm.
Yes. That's what my painter friends who are into makeup say. They say that they've gotten really good at portraiture from makeup tutorials. This is literally painting a face on a face.
Well, it's interesting because I was just doing Rue's nose, and the contour, like the makeup contour on her nose is so, it's like really like emphasizing all the bony structures. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is like kind of a enhanced way of like seeing all of your, like even the blush really emphasizes the cheekbones and the eye sockets.
Yeah.
Amy Lee is saying, I've learned a lot about makeup from doing photography and working in Photoshop. Humans are gorgeous. Makeup I see as a different kind of art form. Yeah, definitely. My roommate in college would always say, like, was really into makeup and would always say it's like a way of just like enhancing what you already have or like finding a way to exaggerate what you already have. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. Adding in some of the, a little bit of the darker tone now, probably close to, I don't know, this is somewhere between a dark tone and a mid-tone. I don't know yet. Oh, I should put a background color in too.
Hmm.
I forgot about that.
Lauren, when you're normally working at this point, would you have already like taken a break? Like how often do you take breaks when you're painting?
Hmm. I take a lot of breaks in the beginning because I am not a super focused person. But once I'm in the zone, I'll work for good 3 or 4 hours at a time,
mm-hmm.
probably. Right now I'm I'm kind of forcing myself to work. I would probably stop and really get anxious over trying to get the face right here and just look at it for a while, but I'm not looking because we have to get down as much as possible. So I'm like, What about you? Do you like to just go or you stop or?
I'm kind of exactly what you were saying. I was resonating with. I'm like, once I'm in the zone, I'm very much in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm an AutoZone commercial right now.
AutoZone.
But like the beginning stages, I feel like I'm like, oh, I should get another cup of tea. I think that's why I like was just like, I'm moving on from the first one. I think I like crave freshness in the beginning and getting loose.
Yeah.
And then once I'm like feeling it, which takes, you know, at least an hour to get there for myself. It's funny because whenever we're doing these streams, I always feel like around the time we like wrap up, I'm like, wait, no, it's fine. Yeah. I finally like feel.
Same. So much same.
So much same.
It's very frustrating because, well, I don't know. I guess that's what is humanizing maybe is that you're seeing probably our worst here with no time to really warm up or anything. And that is maybe helpful, but I always look at my paintings afterwards from these and I'm like, oh, if I could just give it 2 more hours, this would be great.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I was like thinking about like, this is definitely not like my preferred medium. It's like an hour of the day that I wouldn't probably be drawing, you know? And so I was like, it's kind of funny because sometimes I watch these back and I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. But then I'm like, it's probably nice for our audience to see that because, you know, everyone has their own way of working. Art Prof is asking, Lauren, how thick are you using the acrylic now? It looks a lot thicker now.
Yeah, so now I'm going into my regular paints after putting down this wash, and my paints are generally mixed. I pre-mixed these. Let me open one so you can see. So I pre-mix all of these. Neil is aware of how many of these you accumulate, and it's kind of 3/4 paint and 1/4 fluid extender. Not fluid extender, sorry, retarder, which is this right here. This makes my paints dry less quickly, which is always a bugaboo with acrylic. And it helps make them a little bit more transparent and blendable for me. I haven't added any retarder to anything right now at all, but it's just in all my paints anyways.
What is bugaboo?
Something that's frustrating, I guess, or no, I don't know.
It's like, that is a fun word, but what does that mean?
the bane to an existence.
Oh, okay.
Something that is frustrating, maybe.
So you could like tell someone like, you are my bugaboo, but it's not like a sweet thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I think if someone called me their bugaboo, I'd be like, that is so sweet. Thank you. But now I know. Now I know not to thank them, but instead be, how dare you?
That's probably a contextual thing, too. Maybe some people use that as like a pet name. I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, if I didn't know any better, I'd be like calling my cat bugaboo.
Hi, is it okay to mix brands of paint and retarder? Does that change the proportions? I think it's fine. Sometimes, actually, there is a color that I mixed a little while back that I accidentally brought home with me the other day. And the color keeps separating because I think I mixed two types of paint together that don't belong together. It looks really cool, but it can be quite frustrating. So I guess watch out for that. I don't think it's a huge issue, though.
Okay, now that I've taken a break by working on Rue's face a little bit, I'm going back in the hair.
Nice. These cheekbones are so intense.
I know.
I need to put water on my brush. There. So one thing that's happening is, like, as I'm putting down these layers, I then lose my shadow, so then I have to find a darker color to put in the shadow.
Seven Angelica saying, Deep D, your character is looking awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm getting a little bit looser, a bit more comfortable as the stream goes on. So I'm feeling like I want to spend a little bit more time with this character or this image of Rue and, like, creating it into my own character.
I love how you can make things just turn into your characters. I love the one that you did of, what is it, Kate? The
oh my god, yeah. Neil is saying, Lauren, you're not using matte medium to make the paint thinner?
No, I don't like matte medium because it's matte. I just don't, sometimes it looks a little chalky or makes my paint feel a little chalky, which is something that really bothers me. So actually, if I'm going to, sometimes I'll use gloss medium, but mostly I'm sticking with the retarder. Someone who's like really an acrylic nut is going to tell me that that is bad and wrong. Probably.
Hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
You know, I have probably, supposedly I'm a professional artist or something, but the way that I treat my paintings doesn't make me feel very professional. I had a teacher who is an extremely wonderful human being. And she said, she works in oil. She's represented by big gallery in Canada. And she's just like, oh yeah, I use makeup brushes and I leave my brushes in my paint thinner and for days on end. And I'll just put like pieces of the floor, not pieces of the floor, but just random detritus into the painting. So even the people that are supposedly really great at this don't necessarily follow all the rules that you're supposed to.
One cool thing about Procreate is that you can use a different type. Like you can pick a brush for your eraser too. And I really like this eraser brush in drawing, and it's Blackburn for hair because it has a nice texture. So you can go in like with like your pencil like that. And then you can go in with the eraser and get like these like nice like highlight strands. And it feels kind of like a natural bristly texture, which I didn't do a good job of just then, but. Mishaka is saying, Deep D, you got the hair so well. How far do you think you will push the details? Right now it looks good to go. Thank you. I'm not going to push the details all over, but I think there are certain areas where I'd like to keep refining the details. And I might even like add a bit of a darker purple or like another color. So there are certain areas where I want to like really get the like form and the highlights fleshed out, but I'm not going to push too much because then I think it gets really stiff looking if you in every like you're trying to get like every strand looking good and perfect. That's like not generally how I like to address hair in general.
What is the ratio for heavy medium gloss and paints to achieve an oil painting like effect? Great question, Anon. I do half and half. I take a ton of that gloss medium or I use high solid gel from Golden. That's my favorite. Looks just like oil paint, really confuses people. It's wonderful. There are two things you can do. The first one is to mix it straight into your paints, and that makes them also feel like oil, not in the drying time, but in the butteriness. It's wonderful. I love to palette knife it on. The other way you can do it is sometimes I forget to put it in and it's awful. And then I have a plasticky looking section of the acrylic. And so sometimes I'll just take the straight up medium and paint it on top. So it creates that oily luminescence on top. And it doesn't work as well, but it's definitely, if you forget and you don't, and you're lazy and you just want to throw something on top, that's the way to go.
Have you ever worn like an intense wig, Lauren?
I've not. I've never worn a wig. Have you?
Yeah, I feel like I've just worn like Halloween wigs, like to play a Halloween.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Halloween.
But never like something like this intense and beautiful.
No. I'm just always, I'm going to do something with my hair. It ends up being my actual hair.
Yes, I had that as well. I had my hair like every color in the rainbow at one point.
Yeah, I remember when it was purple.
Yeah, when you met me, it was in its purple red phase. I had a blue phase. It turned into a green phase. I think my Instagram has, if you scroll far back enough, has some of those early day photos. But now again, because I'm also acting, I cannot.
Or do they not let you do anything with your hair?
It's like kind of recommended not to look too different from your headshot photos.
Ah, are your headshot photos your natural hair?
Yeah, it's like me kind of like this. Art Prof says, Deep D, how do you decide what to distort when you're working with a reference photo? I think what I start off with is just trying my best to actually make it look like, in this case, I think I was like trying to make Rue look like Rue, but then naturally I don't strive for likeness. I just like try. And then whatever ends up happening that's wrong, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, why not just push that? But if I'm trying to distort something, like for example, the art dare for this month is a selfie self portrait. And if you look at mine that I made, that are examples for this, they're very much exaggerated. And what I did for that is I like took a photo and then I looked at the proportions and like what stands out to me and what's interesting. So like for Rue, I think like in this picture, her mouth is like really big and she has such like a happy smile. And I'm drawn to that. Also the like eye makeup, the cheekbones and the like fabulous hair. So I would like pick out certain things that I think are like really standing out to me and are already exaggerated and just push that even more. Cause that's kind of an easy way to push something. It's like, if it's already doing it, you might as well just keep going.
Totally.
And it's not really distortion. It's just like exaggeration. And that turns into kind of a distortion.
Shaka says, and then they become too much and it gets messy. Yeah.
Oh, I think she's saying, I just can't stop with those strokes on the hair. That urge to fill it in with the pencil. I was also confused. And then they become too much and it gets messy. Yeah, I mean, I think what helps is like if you do it in the way that I addressed this one, which was like I filled out the entire mass of the hair. And now I'm like picking and choosing certain curls, but also not worrying about all of it. Again, I'm also not doing every single strand. I can like zoom in. It's still pretty thick lines. It's like shading, really. It's not like the lines of the hair. It's shading. Lauren's is a great example too. Like in Lauren's, I'm not really seeing her worrying about any sort of strand specifically, but it's like masses.
Yeah.
So, you know, try and like think past if that you're drawing like a bunch of strands of hair and be kind of like selective in like the areas that you're going to work on and what matters most and what you're going to choose to emphasize.
Yeah, I'm only going to get two shapes here. I don't know if this was the right. This is too cool. I need a warmer color. That's blue. That's even cooler. Ah, oh, wait, I've got one. So smart. Okay, look at how ugly this color is. It's mud.
I like it.
I love this. It's some of my paints I was telling in the Discord are really old, and it's not because I never use the paint or something. It's because I continually mix in the same cup, so one color becomes another color over time. And this is one of those. This is one of my 10-year-old paints.
Whoa. That is old.
Well, the amount that's in there that's probably 10 years old is probably not much at this point. Okay, this is going to be a better color in the long run. Sometimes I get really confused. You know that supposedly I'm the person that deals with color, and that's really sometimes not the case. I still get confused with if you have a cool highlight, do you have a warm low light or a warm shadow? Lauren, can you explain why you don't use traditional flat palette and what you gain from premixed colors in the condiment cups? Yes, you waste a lot of, if you're an acrylic painter, if you do this all the time, I'll just say it this way. If you want to paint all the time, it is more helpful to have condiment cups because you can mix more color at once, and then when you don't have to leave it out and have it dry and waste a lot of paint that way. And so I found that I could make these really huge paintings just by mixing all my colors first. Takes about a whole day to do. And then coming back the next day, going to my condiment cups and just starting to paint right away. And I think it's a good way to save, to not feel as bad about saving your, or eating out, I guess. Because then
that's funny.
Use. It's like a cauldron of paint. Angelic Enigma says it's like a cauldron of paint, just continuously mixing in more new colors to the ancient mix. LOL. Yes. And you get some gritty pieces that sometimes end up in your paintings, and it's just lovely. It feels so earthy, even though it's all made out of plastic.
I think I enjoy both of our painting processes, or like our art making processes, Lauren, because it's very like go with the flow.
Yeah, totally. My favorite condiment cups are the ones that you get from eating, say, mozzarella cheese.
Oh.
Or when you go to the Chinese restaurant and they give you one of those big sweet and sour sauce containers. Those are really, really good, but it's too bad. I almost don't get enough of them because they're also good for storing food. So I have to split them and also never confuse them. Once they become a paint cup, they can no longer be a food storing cup. That would be bad.
Hair is kind of meditative, I'm realizing. I'm like, really? Oops. I say that as I make a big mistake.
You can't really make a big mistake with hair. It's one of those things that you can keep going over. I think the big mistake is just getting too detailed right away.
Yeah.
But you can continue to shape it over and over and over again, which is nice.
Now I'm like trying a different method, which is like a reductive process of like filling out masses of pencil and then going in with the eraser.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that is amazing hair.
Thank you. Yours is as well. Yours has so much volume. That's what I want my hair to look like today. But the humidity is giving me the volume, but none of the sparkly niceness.
It's the humidity volume where it's one big mass of frizz.
Yeah, mine looks like a nest. Animal's nest.
My hair, I don't mind the humidity because my hair is so dry from bleaching it that it kind of does a thing, and that frizziness makes it look like a dandelion puff, and I just go with it.
So, who remembers when Lauren cut her hair on the live stream?
Can you believe it's already this grown out already? It's ridiculous.
Will you do it again when we hit 100K?
I don't think it'll be as big a deal then. Honestly, it wasn't that. This is the real honest truth, guys. It wasn't even a big deal that first time. It was a big deal. I shouldn't say that. I was growing it out for a very long time, but I've shaved off my hair so many times at this point that it's not scary. It's just hair.
Yeah.
Actually, what I could do is I could buzz it all the way down, and then you could see my head tattoo.
What? You have a head tattoo?
Yeah, I got it, RISD.
Wait, what is it of? Is it a secret?
No, it's of a Ray Johnson bunny. He's a, I don't know if you know
who
Ray Johnson is. Yeah. That was...
Did it hurt, like, super bad? That feels like an awful place to get a tattoo.
No, it's bad near the hairline, but it's honestly not super... There's not a lot of nerve stuff. It just is like... You know, very buzzy.
It's like very loud.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
It's not something you can sleep through. How about?
Wow, that's cool. Maybe I'll get a skull tat one day.
You should.
My parents watching this are like, ugh.
Are your parents in the stream right now?
They watch all the streams I'm in, I think. So I'm pretty sure my parents are watching right now.
That's so cute. I love that your parents do that.
Yeah, my mom said she would hop in the chat one day, but haven't seen either of my parents in the chat recently.
Do they call you and stuff a lot? Are you close with your family?
I am. We text a lot. We don't call a lot, but that's, I mean, yeah, we call like maybe once a week. That's mostly my fault because I'm like so busy all the time. Literally, I think I've like come to a point in my life where I like don't realize, like the weekend comes at me so fast.
Yeah.
I like can't keep my, like keeping my head above the water is like my major goal right now. I'm like, as long as I am eating and getting an okay amount of sleep, I find my life successful.
Totally. Yeah, I don't even know when holidays pass anymore.
I don't even know how it's April.
I don't know either. I just saw stuff outside. Whoa, Lauren's college days are so interesting to listen to. That's what Mayahika says. Yes. I don't know. It sounds so cliche now, I guess, but I was... semi-wild in college, I guess. And then I got old and tired. And now all I do is I go to work and go to studio and go to bed.
Yeah, that's... I'm like slowly becoming a grandmother.
It's so funny. Did you have this feeling when you were young? Like, oh, I'm... When I get older, I'm not going to become boring. I'm going to continue to do all of the things.
Yeah.
To do all of the hair dyeing and all of that stuff.
It's funny because I think the pandemic has kind of heightened this, but like I keep being like, you know what? I'm like, I have career goals right now. Well, when I'm in my 30s, I'm going to be wild. Like, I keep being like, my 30s are going to be when my life really starts. Sometimes I'm like, that is so sad. I'm like 26 and I never leave the house because we're in a global pandemic.
Well, I mean, nobody can leave the house no matter what age, really. Or they shouldn't. really.
The fact that I'm kind of enjoying it.
Oh yeah, totally. I when the pandemic hit, I think I've said this, there are certain parts of the pandemic that were just already my life. Not a whole lot changed.
Yeah.
Particularly, I was actually so relieved when it meant that people didn't have to invite me. It meant that I didn't have to say no to people about inviting me to things. That was something I was really stressed out about.
Yeah.
Lukaka says, "Oh, Lauren, you don't look old or tired. So much energy is coming in that painting." Thank you. How about I put it this way? I have all of the energy is there. It's just all going towards paintings instead of my looks now.
Or yeah. Like,
the paintings are vampires. They suck all of my life energy out of me. It's like picture of Dorian Gray. Wow, this is so weird. I'm looking at this picture. When I'm looking at the painting, I say, oh, wow, these positions of all the features, they're coming together. It's really working. But then when I look at the photo of the painting on my screen, it feels really off. And I'm trying to figure out if it's because of the angle that I'm working at. I'm not working directly over because otherwise my head's going to be in the screen. Or if it's something, if it's just being blind to my work already. Do you feel that when you work on Procreate Deep D?
Yeah, I've realized that one thing that I like to do, which is easier on Procreate, is I like to like resize as I'm drawing and like look at my image, look really small and then zoom in really big, and then also like look up to the screen and then like look at my drawing like here where I'm looking at my computer screen and look at it again down, because it's like it really does change. Also like the reference image when I'm looking at it on my iPad, it's much bigger, but when I'm looking at it on the screen, it's very small. But sometimes looking at it very small can help because it just gets rid of all the unnecessary details. And you can just focus on like those major shapes and messes.
I like that you're able to, I guess making it really big and making it really small is similar to say getting really close up to a piece and standing back in a traditional piece. Okay, what if I use a big brush? This one's comparatively big, it's an 8. Oh, I really want to put in this background too. I said I was going to do that and I still haven't yet. Oh, wow. That feels nice.
Lauren, do you have any interest in digital painting?
Yes, I do. I just don't have the setup really right now. My mom has an iPad that I'd love to maybe try some Procreate on. But I'm still in that weird position where I'm trying to decide whether I want to do that or do something with an Adobe setup and maybe like a Cintiq, in which case I'd have to save some more money for that. Because in my life, I understand how Procreate is super useful to people, but the compatibility, the things that I use creative programs and digital programs for are not necessarily Procreate type. Use Illustrator a fair amount, and I mean for Photoshop I'm doing a lot of just editing my photos and stuff, and also some digital painting. But maybe I think that would be fun. Oh, see, so this is looking a lot better now that I'm putting in these chunks of red here. I didn't do the earrings. Did you do the earrings? Oh, you're doing the hair.
No, I didn't do the earrings when I was doing the other one. But this one, I tried to get this little like flower hairpin situation kind of.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I think in the piece that I'm working on right now, so in your piece, the hair adds a compositional element, or the hair piece adds a compositional element. It's important. In the piece I'm working on right now, the earring plays more of an ornamental role rather than something that's gonna make or break the composition, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Because sometimes, like, you do want to get in all the details, but it's like you have to kind of think about, is this adding to the piece in any way, or is it like, is it something that I can do without and put that energy into some other element?
Yeah. I'm going to use this very, actually, no, maybe I'll use this green. I've got so many colors, it's so hard to choose. Ooh, I may actually use this. This is going to look very Little Mermaid-esque.
Oh, gosh. The Little Mermaid is such a fun movie, and I don't want to watch that.
I haven't watched The Little Mermaid in years.
I just want to be lazy and watch like cartoons today after this.
I would love to do that. I think I'm just going to, I've got crit both tomorrow and on Tuesday. And I have a deadline for Eloise. And I have this crazy work ideation week where we come up with improvements and brainstorm. Not looking forward to all these deadlines. Deep D, do you ever miss art school?
Oh my God. Every day of my literal life. If I could just be in art school forever, I think that would be my ideal lifestyle. I mean, I think I miss the people the most, like my friends, but I miss the kind of ability to just do whatever.
Yeah.
And do things for yourself, which I still try and do right now, but like, you know, you have to make money and you have to like client work. You have to make sure the client's happy, yada, yada.
It sounds like you miss being a kid.
Yeah. Oh my God. I do. But yeah, I think I just miss the freedom of art school, like being able to like take a glass class or like take a just a random class and like get dedicated time. And this, like, I never took certain classes in college, and now I'm like regret it just because I was like, oh my God, when else would I get the opportunity to learn how to glass blow from like really amazing artists and like have access to these facilities? And I just didn't do it. But I mean, I guess I still could, but it's like a harder.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. JDK exactly. Says, I love listening to you two talking about life while doing art. I'm feeling so motivated. I'm glad we can motivate you. I was worried about that. I was feeling like I was saying unmotivating things. I'm glad you guys vibe with us. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, guys, thanks for vibing with us.
Feel like artist problems, no matter what type of art you're doing, tend to be, you know, there's no such thing as a universal problem, maybe, but this gets pretty close. Artist problems tend to be of the same garden variety.
Well, it's funny because sometimes I feel like it's kind of motivating to hear that, like, hear other people's art problems, because then it, like, makes you feel like, oh, okay, this isn't, like, a reason to stop working. It's like something everyone is going through.
Yeah.
I like actually hearing that other people are like stuck, or like the ways that they feel frustrated and like it's validating.
Same.
In a sense, because a lot of times on social media, people are like, look at these 500 paintings I did yesterday.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
Vanessa is saying, wow, that color as background shakes the world of Lauren's painting. Yeah, I think so too.
Thank you. I'm very psyched by this. I did a little color calculus in my head in math prof terms. And I said, wait, this gray-green that I have is complementary in some ways to all of the rosy hues that I am using. But it's not too intense. We want the red to stand out the most. So gray will help make that red pop.
Vishaka is saying, have you guys ever used your opposite hand to create any work? I just started using my left hand to write and doodle. It feels good. I'm sure I did that as like a fun thing. It's kind of fun. It's like a blind contour drawing. Like it forces you to work in a way that you're like not used to. I can't think of a recent time I've done it, but now that you're mentioning it, I'm like, oh, maybe I should.
Yeah, I do it for painting, but I always use my dominant hand, my left hand, if I'm doing something that's very controlled. And I'm not going to automatically choose my right hand over my left hand just because. But if I'm, say, needing to hold something down and do something, or I need to put down two colors at the same time, yeah, you can use both hands.
We would love it if you guys were to join us on the Art Prof Discord after this stream in the hashtag Artalongs channel. The Discord invite link is in the video description below. Also, please subscribe to the Art Prof YouTube channel. We're so close to 100K, you guys. Very exciting.
Very close.
And we also wanted to give a huge shout out to our Patreon supporters. Thank you so much. Thank you for keeping Art Prof free and accessible to as many people as possible for as long as possible. We couldn't do this without you guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us on our Wigs live stream drawing. And we'll see you on the Discord. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye.